All right, welcome fans, Scout Florida fans. We're back. You're here with your co-host of Scout Florida Radio, Kelsey Dudley. Also, your co-host, Tony Sands. We're back for the second week of Scout Florida Radio Show, where we bring you all the live, local high school sports news and some of the hottest down under the ground local hot stuff that you want to know what's going on in these high school programs, okay? We're here starting off with you this week with Scout Florida. We're going to cover some of the local scores, also some of the national scores, whereas we had big challenges that were going on between state play, Florida and Texas, Florida and Ohio. And we'll also get into it with some guests and top coaches, top players that did pretty well last week for us. Tony Sands, are you ready to go tonight?
I'm ready to roll.
Okay, let's get started here. In some of the classics that we had, one of the well-known classics, Kirk Herbstreit Classic, we had St. Thomas Aquinas, who fared off against Skyline High School on ESPN. Fans, I know you saw it. I know you saw the show that St. Thomas Aquinas put on. It was very, very wonderful. I was impressed as a fan, and I felt real good. Tony Sands, how did you feel about St. Thomas's first showing?
I was impressed, but not only was I impressed, it was amazing. I was leaving Kansas City, and here I am flying from Kansas City, lands in Atlanta. I'm getting on my plane at Concourse C-30. Look and behold, I hear a rumbling coming down the walkway of the airport. Look, who is it? It is the mighty St. Thomas Aquinas as they was getting ready to take their journey to Texas. I got a chance to interview George Smith and a couple of the guys. And, you know, with the humbleness that George Smith has, he was very humble in talking about the game, not to hype his team up, but to hype the other team up. And that's been always a thing of George's, to give the more team hype. I don't know if it was something to psych his team up or something to psych the other team out. So it was kind of puzzling to me how that happened. But I interviewed him, and he was glad that he had an opportunity to play in the Kirk Herbstreit Classic and that he was able to take his team and travel to represent Broward County and the state of Florida in this classic.
Okay, and I was very proud being from St. Thomas Aquinas High School myself that they went and put a wonderful showing out there in Texas Stadium, and that was wonderful for St. Thomas and also for here in South Florida. Let them know what talent we have and to get it nationally known to everyone out there. Now, also we had in another classic showdown, we had the Miami Central Rockets to play Camden County up in Georgia. And going into that, we pretty much felt that, okay, Central's the team to beat. They kind of came up short, but I wouldn't say that Central is not the team that we think they are.
Now, as I told you, you know, we got a chance to watch Central play. We got a chance to sit beside them and sit on the sideline and see some of the massive size of some of the kids and watch how the coaches coach and watch the discipline. But one of the things that we spoke about that stood out to us was Central's ability in the kicking game, how great they were in the kicking game. But we also was able to see there was some mishaps with the ball on the return teams. And come and behold, I think that's what kind of hurt them. Something that we thought that would be real strong with them came back to haunt them because the kicker was doing his job.
Oh, and it definitely bit them. It definitely bit them in this well-fought-out game where it was very close, 45-42, as far as the victory for Camden County. But it came down to a late field goal. First half lapses by Central in the special teams were a key spot for Central. And it kind of put them behind the eight ball as far as being able to establish that presence on the road.
And for you guys that, you know, that are listening in from far as the Midwest, let me give you a little description of what a team like Central is. Guys that are massive, guys that are fast, guys that are explosive. When you talk about the game of football, probably on this team, you'll probably have 10 guys to go D1. And when I speak of D1, they got 10 guys probably that can start for any D1 D1 program in the country. So I'm giving you a description. That way you can get the feel of what this central team is about. These guys can move. I think they traveled on the road, and I'm calling them the next Northwestern. But I don't know, calling them that, are they ready for that? Northwestern was ready to travel on the road and make things happen. I don't know if Central, if we can crown Central the king of Miami at this point.
No, and I agree on that. I don't think we can. I think it would be premature for us to do that. What do we say in sports? You have to knock off the champion before you can label that you are going to get out there and be the new reigning champion. Until they're beat, until Northwestern has been dethroned as far as being a champion, because we can't really say that Central is a champion, because understand, 6A, as far as Florida goes, went to the Miramar Patriots last year, as far as 6A goes. So we cannot crown Miami Central as the quote-unquote leader as being a champion there this year.
I hear what you're saying, that Miramar won the state champion. I hear that clearly, and I understand that. But I still say, Miramar, was it a fluke? They just won. It's just one time around. But when you're talking about dynasties in Miami, that's why I compare them to Northwestern, because I think they are the next Northwestern of Miami, the king of Miami, as DJ Khaled would say, he's the king of Miami. I think Northwestern and Central are the king of Miami, but Central is more taking over that crown, because I think, like we said, those kids are coming back to Central.
Okay, so we got to keep our eyes posted on that, because I think we're kind of building up to a matchup there that may mean something down the line. Let's go to one of our other out-of-state classic games, which was the East St. Louis high school team that fared off against the Dillard High School Panthers, and this did not turn out exactly like we expected.
And I tell you, when I evaluated this from every angle that I could, what I mean by that, I went around this and say, okay, with the talent that Dillard has, can they go to St. Louis and understand Dillard is a team down here in South Florida that has speed, that has tradition tremendously. So how can they go to St. Louis and play and don't come out so fair? So I evaluated, had a chance to watch some film. Now, when we look at this game, the score is not going to really give you a full description of the game if you're not, wasn't there. Looking at the film, studying it, the score at halftime, really at the top of the third quarter, was 7-15. Dillard started having mishaps with the ball, turning over the ball 9 times, only recovering 2. East St. Louis recovered 7, scored on 7 or so turnovers. That can get you beat. I don't care who you are.
You're definitely right on that. And turnovers are the name of the game. And we'll highlight that going into a lot of our later predictions for this week coming up. Whereas, understand this, fans, we're identifying out there with teams down here in South Florida. Who's the contenders and who's the pretenders? Who belongs and who does not belong? Are we giving too much hype out there, Tony Sands, to some of these teams that, okay, you look good on paper, but we call those what? Paper champs. And I think that we may be giving them a little bit more credit, or their fans may be giving them more hype than what they deserve.
I don't think so. I think we've studied these teams enough. That's why we went around, Scott Florida went around and evaluated teams. We looked at these teams. You can evaluate sometimes talent, and talent looks good on paper. But when some teams go to play, and you got to understand, some of these teams, it was their first time out. Dillard was a team. It was their first time traveling outside of the state of Florida to play. Sometimes that has a lot to do with guys, young men, that haven't been gone. But here you are. Now you're on the road. You're playing a team in St. Louis, their home. St. Louis sold out both sides. They sold out their side and the away side. So I think that kind of messed with Dillard's psyche. But I still say, I think it was the turnovers. I continue to say it was the turnovers that got this team beat. It wasn't that they wasn't prepared. It wasn't that they wasn't ready. It wasn't the traveling. But I still say it was the turnovers that would get any team beat.
and that's definitely true. And we're going to highlight that here now as we move to some local news and some of the battles that we had in the first week. Standing out, let's say, and let's go back to last week, and we had a talk. We had a big talk out there, fans. And last week, if you were able to chime in, and
I still say I understand where you're finna go.
Here
I
comes
understand
Tony.
It.
Here comes Tony.
You know I'm coming. I'm not gonna let you get away with it solely. I understand what he's finna say, and I know he's finna talk about the matchup between Boyd Anderson and Cypress Bay. I still say that was the game of the week, and I know it became lopsided in the outcome. But the reason why I stated, and that's what Kelsey's not understanding, listeners, you got to hear him now. I stated it was the matchup of the week because you got the best athletes going up against one of the top coaches in Broward County. That's why I gave it the matchup of the week. I didn't take anything from it. I knew the game would be lopsided by Boyd Anderson. But the key matchup that I wanted to see was those two. I know what he wanted to give the key matchup to, and I didn't see that as the key matchup. When you got great athletes going up against a great-minded coach, man, that always excites you because, okay, do athletic ability take over or do coaching ability take over? Because we always figure, we say, you can have great athletes, but if you got no coaching, it doesn't matter. And was this the case in that game?
And this is what we'll look at it and break down. And in the Boyd Anderson matchup against Cypress Bay, Boyd Anderson was able to come away with a victory, 36-17, where they pretty much dominated most of the game there, and they have some top players over there at Boyd Anderson. They're loaded, folks, with D1 players. And to lead into that, the understanding of Cypress Bay, they're young right now. And that's what I was looking at as an analyst of this thing. I was looking at the youngness of Cypress Bay. They're breaking in a new quarterback. Although he seems to be quite athletic, they were able to challenge BA at times, as I saw on film. But the dominance and just the sheer presence of BA's size and ability just pretty much took over that game, and they were able to just command that game on through.
But when we go back to that, I've seen Cypress Bay take lesser talent now when BA was loaded again with talent and beat BA. And that's why I stated, hey, here we go again. Could this be one of those to where BA always have the talent that goes up against Cypress Bay and Guandola? And do they come away with the win? That was the main reason why I stated that was the game of the week. I didn't take anything from any other games that week, but I just stated that was it. And that's what's making me so amazed by how you wanted to crown Northeast and Plantation the game of the week.
And I let's look into the next matchup, which was Northeast High School against Plantation High School. And that game there amazingly turned out very well. The game was very close, and it matched up some of the top DNs here in Broward County, that being Brian DeBose for Northeast Hurricanes and also Ryan Shazier for the for Plantation High School. And we're going to talk with Coach Darnell Bennett later on in the show. And what was able to happen here, and we just talked about it, saying that turnovers were trouble for Dillard. Here we go again. Guess what? Plantation had 5 turnovers, folks, but they had 16 first downs. What's the key stat that stands out here is definitely those turnovers. So you have to identify and highlight those turnovers in these games where it could have been more of a positive game or a stronger game for Plantation. But with 5 turnovers, man, I just don't know how you're able to do it and come out with a victory.
And this is why I stated about that game. Because I think the game with Plantation losing was more like it was an upset for a lot of people. Because the 6A contender Plantation was beat by him. That's why I'm stating that.
And I totally understand that. But guess what, folks? BA, Boyd Anderson High School, and Northeast will face off this week at Northeast High School. And that's right. Your people, Tony Sands and Kelsey Dudley, will be there for that showdown at Northeast High School. All right, we'll come back with some more in just 2 and 2. We got to go to commercial break. Stay with us, fans.
Okay, this commercial break was brought, this half of the show was brought to you by Sensational Hair and Nail Salon. The salon, as I stated last week, if you're a man and you're trying to get your lady ready for the weekend, call the girls over at Sensational Hair and Nail Design, and they will get them hooked up. That's Sensational Hair and Nail Design, 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. You can find those young lady also on Facebook, Calandra Sands and Sharonsky Jones. And when I get ready to step out on the town, or when Michael Irvin get ready to step out on the town, he calls the man of the hour, Max Payne, that's in that same salon. So it's a salon that cater to a lot of the stars that you see on television. So if you, when you're ready, guys or girls, go to Sensational Hair and Nail Salon and get that dude hooked up.
Okay, and know that, Tony, where must you go when you want the top training to be the best at what you're doing?
You must call the guys at Get Sensational, the speed training program of the true stars, those that are in the NFL, those that are in college, those that are in high school, and the little peewees, guys. That's what you call. You call Get Sensational the number one speed program in the country.
Okay, all my receivers, be aware that the best receiver academy out there has come to South Florida. You have Receiver Academy trained by Kelsey Dudley, where the top receivers in the county will get skill-specific training from the high school to the college players, even down to the youth league players. I'm working with them all. Yes, folks, you bring them to me, I guarantee you I'll get them to the next level. It is Kelsey Dudley Receiver Academy. Make sure you go to scoutflorida.com, check your information, read up on it, and get in touch with Kelsey Dudley for the local Receiver Academy to make your son the best receiver he can be. Okay, fans, we're back. Scout Florida is back on the radio here, and now we're going to go into some of the youth league. That's right, some of the youth league top shows and competition that we had over the weekend. Tony, what was one of the top games that we had in the youth league going on this weekend that was just, it was just amazing with young athletes?
When you talk about those, when you talk about Broward County, you talk about some of the little leagues, you know, you can't stop to mention, you can mention some teams like the Hurricanes. Which Hurricanes? The Fort Lauderdale Hurricanes, the Pompano Cowboys, and the Deerfield Packer Rattlers. These are some of the teams, when you talk about matchup, man, they have more crowds than the high school games.
Hey, and we've been there doing a lot of our recruiting and scouting and looking at players and just trying to get information on who are the up-and-coming stars in South Florida. And what we found is that in last week's games, one of the top matchups seemed to be the Deerfield Packer Rattlers against the Fort Lauderdale Hurricanes, where the 110-pound faced off against each other, and Deerfield was able to come away victorious.
Everybody around this county, everybody in the Tri-County area are talking about the Deerfield Packer Rattlers 110. I was with a guy today that was talking about Little League football, and they was talking about they can't wait to week 8. Now, this was the Pompano Tigers. This guy said he can't wait to week 8 till they get ready to match up against the Deerfield Packer Rattlers. I'm out at the Packer Rattlers field a lot, just scouting talent and looking at guys, seeing who is what, who's going to be the next bright star here in Broward County in high school football. And I'm telling you, that team is powerful as they are on paper and as they are when you see them.
Okay, and here's the matchup this week coming up, folks, and I'm going to let you know. That matchup is Lauderdale Lakes Vikings facing off against the Pompano Cowboys at the Pompano Cowboys. How do you feel about that?
Man, you know, I'm going to tell you, and I know I'm biased, and I know a lot of people say, well, wait a minute. You are from Fort Lauderdale, so technically they would want me to be with the Lauderdale Lakes Vikings. But I'm going to tell you, I'm rolling with the Pompano Cowboy. I am a Pompano Cowboy, so that's who I'm rolling with. And I understand, yes, I'm from Fort Lauderdale, but I do all my lovely business in the Cowboys Arena.
Okay, let's go to some of the outstanding players in high school that did pretty well last week. One guy that I have right off the bat, and fans will be speaking with him later on, is Camden Crone, which is the receiver that is one of the talented and very athletic and very versatile stars for the Cooper City Cowboys team. He was able to amass over 100 yards in total offense and kick returns and also receiving yards. Tony, tell us a little bit about Camden Crone.
I'm telling you, every time I look at this kid, every time I go watch this kid play, this kid reminds me of a Rex Walters. I'm telling you, this is a kid that's going to tear Broward County up. And not only this year, because he's only a junior, he will tear Broward County up also next year, because he'll be coming back to Broward County. He's going to change the diameters in Cooper City when it comes to understanding, building, and restarting the tradition that Cooper City High School will have. I see this kid once the season's over, I see this kid as being an all-county and all-state. Understand now, he was all-county, all-state at Archbishop. He moved up a level to show a lot of the scouts that, hey, he can play at this next level.
And I agree. This is one of the guys that I've worked with a lot myself, and I'm proud of his talents and the way he's moving up. He is going to sneak up a lot of charts this season, and we'll be highlighting as he moves through the season some of these key games where teams are going to have to start to try to defend against this guy, and it's going to be pretty tough. Now, another guy that I look at is from University High School is the quarterback there, Douglas Cook. I think this kid is flying under the radar, Tony. Let me give you his rundown from last week. 20 completions out of 30 attempts, and for 318 yards and 3 TDs. Sounds good to me.
But I answer this question. I don't know if he's flying under the radar because he's at university school. Would a kid like this fly under the radar at one of the big schools? And I think that's probably where that flying under the radar coming, meaning, hey, we haven't heard about this kid. Why? Because he's probably being overshadowed by a lot of the talent at the big levels.
And it could be, but are we not paying attention to University High School? Because, hey, you and I know that there's definitely some talent over there at University High School.
Yeah, Roger Harry, I got to give it to him. He's building a program. I mean, I look at this guy as being the next George Smith when it comes to private schools in this county. I think he's going to light it up. He's going to do great justice for it. So look for that team to continue to rise in their district.
As the other players that we wanted to highlight here, also doing very well this week, indeed, Tony Bridgewater, 5 TD passes. They call him the doctor by the announcer, Willie Wilcox, and he says that he's just a surgeon going to work, baby.
I still say, now, and I understand we talked about him a little bit last week, this guy's, he's surrounded by some talent now. I don't know and it's going to be a question. I don't know if he's surrounded by as much talent as Harris. I think Harris probably, to me, had more talent, but he's following Harris in the way that his receivers and him are heading to where? The U. I said again, they're headed to where? The U.
And hey, he's the man right now. He's the hot man, and we gotta keep our eyes on Bridgewater, because yes, he is heading to the U, and he's a top talent. So we definitely gotta keep our eyes on him, as well as they're moving up the rankings nationally, folks. So they are a team that we need to watch. Okay, other teams to do well this on last week, the Cardinal Gibbons. Did very well. Cardinal Gibbons Redskins, they did very well. They were able to shut out Taravella 31-0. And I bring up Cardinal Gibbons in that they have a pretty good matchup this weekend with Hollywood Hill. And Hollywood Hills has a passing attack that did not fans show up last week against Berlin Jesuit, who was able to handle Hollywood Hills very well. But maybe it was a jitter when we go back and say, is this team a contender, Tony, or are they a pretender?
And as you stated it, contender to pretender, I still say, how can you say they never been in the big game? So I don't even put them on either one of those levels. They've been a team that's always been a mediocre team. So why would we say that Hollywood Hills is either pretending or contending? Because what are they pretending for? They would never win out of that district because we know who always comes out of that district. So they haven't accomplished nothing to even put them at that level to where we can start talking about, like, hey, here we go. They're on a run for something because their role stops between Davey and Broward Boulevard just a little bit west of 27th Avenue. Do your math. Do your calculations. Google it. MapQuest it. I state it. Davey, Broward Boulevard, just a little bit west of 27th Avenue, and that give you a description.
Now, would that be the Mighty Raiders that you are alluding to there, Tony?
See, you gave it to them too easy. I wanted them to get on their computers because I know some of them is sitting with their little iPhones or some of them sitting at the computers. I wanted them to Google it, and they'll see who it was.
Now, I said Raiders. I didn't give away a name there. I said Raiders. There's a lot of Raiders mascots out there. Maybe they don't know.
It ain't nothing but one Raider here in Broward County that sits in those diameters. I mean, and you pretty much practically gave it away to the people. Would it be the Raiders? No, it is the St. Thomas Aquinas Raiders. I mean, we're going to say it. Let's say it in the correct tense. St. Thomas Aquinas Raiders. I mean, they got so many. You got to put all that together in one sentence. So I guess that's why you just said, make it simple to the people, Tony. Call them the Raiders.
Okay, and just touching on some more things here, we're going to come back after we go to break with some of our guests, as we have Donnell Bennett, former running back for the University of Miami Hurricanes, and who is now a high school Hurricane with the Northeast Hurricanes, where he's the head coach there, and Cooper City's top talent, Camden Crone. We'll be back in a couple of moments to bring you those guests. Fans, stay tuned. The show gets better. We got hype time coming up. And at hype time, we got some hype time for you, baby. We're going to really get this dirt going during hype time.
Ooh, I'm telling you, I can't wait because the topic is so close to me. And that's why I can't wait for hype time, because this topic brings it home in a couple ways. And that's why I can't wait for it. I mean, I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be exciting today, folks.
Okay, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Okay, as we stated to you, this show today is put together and sponsored by Sensational Hair and Nail Salon, the salon of the true people that want to go out on the town and do their thing. So, fellas, if you're with your lady right now, you need to pick up a pen and take this number, 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997 to get that fresh hairdo. Now, you fellas now, heck, I'm on the radio, but when I'm out, I go no other than calling who? Max Payne to get my hair done like I need it. Michael Irvin fly in and out of town before he's on the NFL Network. So he calls who? Max Payne to get his hair done. That's Max Payne. You can contact him also at that salon to get your dude done up.
Okay, and if you really want to make it to the next level and you want to be that NFL star and you want to be all on the Nike commercials and in the endorsements and a super athlete that everyone talks about all over the radio and all over TV, where must they go for their training, Tony?
No other than GetSensational.com. It is the home base of such stars as Michael Irvin, Al Harris, Zach Crockett, Patrick Peterson, Deshaun Sands, Denard Robinson. Should I say any more? It is the number one training program. And if you want to see videos, go to YouTube, log in to Al Harris, and you take your pick and see what's going to suit you.
Now, anytime you want your son trained in the best way, bring him to Kelsey Dudley's Receiver Academy. If he's a receiver, I guarantee you, I can get him to the next level. Let's make sure that we get our kids out there, get our son out there, and get him to the Receiver Academy, where all of the top receivers are being trained around the county, even college athletes, even starting as young as the youth athletes. Yes, fans, they're being trained as young as the youth athletes to be the best receivers out there possible. That's Kelsey Dudley's Receiver Academy, where he will get you to the next level, and it's the difference between being good and great. Okay, fans, we're back with Scout Florida here, and as I said, we're going to be having our guests checking in with us soon here on the show. Again, those guests are going to be Donnell Bennett of Northeast High School, the head coach of Northeast High School Hurricanes, and Camden Crone of Cooper City High School, where he's one of the top dual athletes and versatile athletes for Cooper City High. I wanted to touch on one of the things here in the classics coming up, because fans, whether you know it or not, Miami Central is doing a doubleheader where it comes down to these classics. They went last week to Camden County. Now they come back, pack their bags again, and they're off to Texas, where they will face off against the S.A. Madison, who was a pretty good team last season, but they returned some good players this season. How do you feel that Central will bounce back this week, Tony, whereas they travel again? And I think it may be pretty tough to pack your bags and get a short week. Move on again. You tell me, what do you think?
I think it's going to hurt them. I say the traveling is upon them. Once you're traveling up and down in that air, the body tends to get a little jet lag. And you got to think, they drove to Georgia. Now they get on a plane in a short week, and they got to fly to Dallas, Texas. I think this may come back to haunt them, putting those games so close. One thing I said, and I admire George on it, because George will take the same journey. But George is bringing Camden County to St. Thomas. And that's why he was smart, because he didn't want to take his kids on the road two times in a row on a long journey trip like that. I understand people are saying, well, they do it in college, and this, but it's the longest time span. And we're not talking about guys that are in college. We're talking about guys that are in high school, and they still got to deal with the regulations that high school requires. They're still living home. So mom still got them doing chores. So I think a lot of that is going to affect them.
And it may affect them a lot. And that's what we're going to be looking at this week. Now, we have another Broward County team that travels off here to Texas, and that is your Miramar Patriots. And for Miramar, what I think may be not a good setup for a team or not as well, is this is Miramar's first bit of action. I mean big-time action here, and they're traveling off to Texas, facing off against one of the top programs there in DeSoto, and I don't think Miramar's battle-tested for this first game.
I understand they might not be battle-tested. We had a chance to watch them, but I'm still going with the Patriots. I don't care. I'm going with the whole team, guys, as you hear. I understand they might not be battle-tested, and I know they're taking a long trip, a trip pretty much similar to how Dillard did. Will the trip affect them? I hope it don't. I hope these guys go up there and do what they know that Miramar and South Florida can do. They're representing Broward County. Dade County will be well represented with Central. Hey, let's get it, Patriots. Let's roll. Let's handle the Madison. I mean, DeSoto, because you guys are playing DeSoto. Central is playing Madison. Let's handle DeSoto. Let them know when they mess with South Florida, they mess with us all.
And in looking at Miramar, playing DeSoto. DeSoto, like I said, is one of the top programs out in Texas. Miramar coming off of being the defending state champs in 6A here in Florida. The top talents, whereas Miramar has a wonderful secondary. But here's the key matchup, fans, that we must notice, which matches the Miramar secondary against the DeSoto wide receivers. And let me tell you a little bit about DeSoto here. They'll be bringing in five potential D1 wide receivers, whereas two of those receivers is already committed to TCU. And they're big in size.
But you're going up against Mr. Handcuff Man himself. So this guy is basing his ability on just that. Mr. Handcuff Man himself. I'm going to let you call the name because I'm going to tell the viewers this boy, this young man, is bad. When I say bad, he carries handcuffs around with him just so he can let defenders know this is what's going to happen to him when they step out of line.
And fans, he's referring to one of the top corners here in Broward County, in Tracy Howard. He's known as the handcuff man because he's going to lock him down. He carries around handcuffs because he feels that confident in his skills. Another top defensive back that Miramar also has in their secondary is Stephen Montgomery. Very hard hitter. I mean, it's the matchup that we need to be looking at here, Tony. And not only us, but the fans, this is going to be a key matchup that may decide if Miramar comes back here with a victory.
And I'm telling you, when it comes to that, that's why I'm putting everything that we got, I'm putting it on the Patriots because I understand the power and the strength of that secondary. And I know those guys are not going to stand for a team just throwing the ball recklessly on them. That's not going to happen. So that part we can forget about because it's not going to happen. I'm telling you.
Okay, as we wait for Camden Crone and Coach Donnell Bennett to get on with us here, I wanted to move on to some of the other competitions that we have or matches that we have coming up this week locally for some of our local fans there in Broward County. Here we have Cypress Bay facing off at Plantation. Okay. Also, we have the Deerfield Beach Bucks at Dillard High School, and they'll be facing off. And then we have Stranahan High School at Coral Springs, where they will be matching up this week. Also, in Dade, we have some top matchups where we must look at. We have Jackson High School facing off against Dr. Kropp, where that will be a pretty tough matchup there. And then, guess what, fans? It may be a doozy. You may want to get there. You have, at Trash Pal Stadium, the Booker T Tornadoes facing off against the Carroll City Chiefs. And I hear from some fans, and I'm hearing from sources, Tony, that Carroll City, although they didn't fare as well against Northwestern, that Carroll City is trying to get back into the mix here with some of the Dade powers.
And as you said, some of the powers. Why you say some of the powers? Because when you talked about Dade County at one time, the road led to Carroll City. When you talked about powerhouse teams, especially coming out of the 80s, at the end of the 80s, going into the 90s, you talked about the Carroll City Chiefs. That waves in Dade County, it shifts. It's like a boat. It docks in different ports. The port that it has docked in and that it will remain probably for the next 2 years, it will remain at Central. But the Chiefs are making that comeback, and they're trying to build that program up and get it back at the power. I can agree with you on that.
Okay, and I agree there, too. It's going to be a struggle for them to get back up to the top. Hopefully they can, but I mean, you got to face off against the big dogs. You got to earn your way. So in doing that, the Carroll City has to face their lumps and just climb back up that hill. Another matchup that will be a key matchup in Dade County will be Columbus High School facing off against Belen Jesuit. And let me tell you, a team that has come up now is Belen Jesuit. And last year, them going to states was a big, big thing for this program. It seems that they have most of their starters back, and they're facing off against a Columbus team that has a wonderful player in Tekel Sumler, and he's their talented player. And in that, Belen has lost to Columbus the last five matchups. So Belen is looking for some payback in this matchup. And as I said, folks, they were able to thrash Hollywood Hills last week, 41-0. That was their tune-up game. Now they're taking all of this momentum into this game this week with Columbus, where Columbus has a top receiver in Sumler and also some other top players where they may be able to compete with Belen Jesuit, and they may be able to just let Belen know that you're not going to step up here. We're the big team in town.
And that's what they're going to do. This is turning into probably, and when you look at it, this is going to be a rivalry that's going to last for a while. Why? Because if Belen is going to beat them, it better be this year, because it won't happen next year. Columbus, I guarantee you, are going to get that team ready to go. That's why I said, if they're going to win, Kelsey, they better win it this year, because I don't see it happening for them any time after this year here. So they better be ready to go.
Okay, and now, touching on some of those key matchups we feel coming up this week, now we're ready, folks, to move into what we call the hype time. And if during the hype time, it is the right time, because we are looking for the dirt. And when we say the dirt, I want to know the lowdown. I want to know the hot topics. I want to know what's going on out there. I want to know what is going on with some of the issues and things out there, Tony. We want to hit some of this dirt. So callers, call in. Make sure that you're able to call in and get with us here. We want to hear from you as we're going to touch on some of these hot topics now during hype time, and find out what our fans feel about it down here in South Florida. First topic we want to touch on is the topic of, I know everyone has been watching the local broadcast and the national broadcast, sports broadcast here with Reggie Bush and what's happening with the Heisman Trophy. They want his Heisman Trophy back. And I personally, Tony, don't think that kid should give back that Heisman Trophy, and because there are reasons why that he's been exploited when he was at USC that was totally unfair.
But, I mean, not to get into that, first of all, he's not giving it back. They're taking it back. I mean, they're saying, this is our trophy. We give it to who we want. And right now, you don't fit the criteria due to the fact, man, and I'm going to address this to ladies because I know there are a lot of women like, who cares about a Heisman Trophy? Well, it is the number one award that a college athlete can receive. He received it for what he did on the football field. Understand I said it. What he does on the football field goes into great consideration when it goes to this Heisman. They don't say, okay, I'm going to give it to Reggie Bush because Reggie Bush had a 5.0 in college. We'll give you another award for that. But what you did on this football field, we're going to give you the Heisman Trophy. So my thing is, how can you take away something that you gave me? Now, what do I call it, an Indian giver? And I think that's what the Heisman Trust Foundation is. I think they're playing this Indian giver, and that's why I think their study tread on thin ice, because they don't want to set a trend that will start a movement throughout college football, because these young fellows have more say-so than any generation. You can't talk to them any kind of way. You talk to me any kind of way, I'm going in to see the athletic director. Something must be done. And I'm telling you, it's a wave that's going. So I think they're going to tread on thin ice when they go to messing with this Heisman Trophy.
And that's a good point that you brought that up, because in all the events that have happened lately over the last couple of months during the off season here, we had a lot of changes that have happened in coaching because of players not standing for what coaches were giving out. And we had jobs that were being changed and coaches not having jobs because of what was going on behind the scenes of the program. But what we want to look at now with the Reggie Bush situation and this being a key situation is, folks, understand that this kid has made millions of dollars for this university. And this kid has received none of the revenue from the sales of t-shirts, autograph signings, anything with his name on it, footballs, anything that deals back to Reggie Bush. He's seen none of that money that the university has so profited off of. And I think now, in knowing that, players are going to start to look at this and say, well, why should I continue to let these colleges exploit me and put me in a dorm where they're making millions off of me and I'm just barely getting by on what we call it, ramen noodles?
And I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna play devil's advocate, and I know I'm gonna get ripped when I walk around because I was a major college athlete that was on a scholarship. Everybody is saying, and they're gonna say, well, these guys get a scholarship that's paid for. They room, they board, everything. They get that paid for. That should cover their scholarship. Baloney, baloney, baloney. That you can make more money. And the reason why I stated earlier to you, this topic is so close, and what Kelsey was stating to you, here I am. I set two NCAA records. Now, 58 carries, 396 yards in one game. At that time, I was put in the Guinness Book of World Records. From the time it took me to get from the field through the massive crowd, and by the time I get in the locker room, guess what? The university, there was t-shirts made with my name on it, my picture on it, my record sitting on the back that was selling like hotcakes. But I was only able to get five of those t-shirts for my family. And that was it. I couldn't make any money off of it. And so that's why we stayed in what we're staying here.
So you mean to tell me that by the time you got to the locker room, the t-shirts were already made up and they were making money off of your name, your picture, your attributes and skills that you had just achieved in that game? I call it unfair.
That's why I state, and like you said, this thing's going to set a trend to where, just like you test the market in the draft, these young athletes are going to start testing their value market. They're going to test, how much am I truly worth in this market? Do I test that market and say, hey, you know what? I can make more outside, give the university back their scholarship, stay playing for the team, and see how much money I can gross in those years while I'm with the university. What I mean by that, can I sell t-shirts with my name on them? Can I do my own autograph signing? Can I set up my own money marketing off myself just as the university does?
And I think you're right, Tony. I think you're onto something there. Let's go ahead and say it. It is going to happen. I think it's going to happen because if it were my son and I were the parent of that son that was being exploited or put out there, would I want my son, or would we sit down and look at this thing from a money perspective? Yes, because if you're, as the university, making millions, again, millions off of my son, and the most college scholarships, okay, University of Miami.
Come on, man, they're giving you four tickets to go to every game with your son.
Oh, please.
They're giving you four tickets. You know, you enjoy them. You're watching your son. You're sitting in the state. What more do you want?
Folks, it costs $50,000 to go to the University of Miami, full tuition paid, room and board. If you're telling me that you made millions off of my son, guess what? It's time to go back to the negotiating table, because I'll tell you to keep the scholarship, and then I'll take my son, and we'll go ahead and make some money, and we will exceed that $50,000 scholarship that you gave my son will exceed that in no time.
But now, and this is where I say we could test the market. Can you go to Nike and say, okay, Nike, I'm going to wear your brand. You pay me, just like you do in the pros. Pay me. I promote your brand. You give me X amount of dollars. I take a certain amount of those dollars. I shove it to the university. I pay for my scholarship. And bam, I'm making money as an amateur. And that's where the word is going to get so distorted, as I stated. The word amateur to pro is where that get distorted. And I think that's the thing, that the tradition that they're trying to hold on to is that word amateur. You can't hold on to that nowadays because the market value of young college athletes have skyrocketed. What I mean by skyrocketing, that's why you're hearing about so much this agent tampering. They're not tampering. Help me. Show me the money is what these young players say. Because when you look at it, that's what they're going to school for. They're going to make money, whichever way it happens. Do I make it with my scholarship, or do I make it with my athletic ability to going on to the pros?
Show me the money. Show me the money. That's what it is, fans. That's what it is. And help me help you. And that's what the players are trying to say, and they've been saying this for a while, since both I and Tony were in college. They're asking for something. Now, we're saying that it has not gotten to the degree of money marketing.
But it will. But I guarantee you that. It will.
Yeah, we're on the brink of it because the colleges and the upper chairman and the people of the board, the trustees, are pushing it that way. And there's no other choice but for it to go that way.
I don't see them pushing that because I know they're scared of it because it's taboo. It's something that's never been done. I see them probably more or less now saying, hey, behind the scenes, it may happen. We got to be prepared for it. We got to be ready for it. But behind the scenes, up front, hey, no, we got to push this thing. These are amateur student athletes. Understand how we put the word? We put student, then we put athlete first. And that's what they're saying. They're shoving that down your throat to make you an institutionalized guy to say, hey, I love college. I want my kid to learn. I want him to learn. I want him to learn. But on the back of the scenes, these companies, and I call them companies as we call them, are making millions of dollars. You take a team like Michigan that sells out 100,000+ every game. Average ticket sales, $45. You do the math. Somebody out there do the math. Email me, info@getsensational.com. That's info@sandsational. Email me that information. Email me that, and I'm going to tell you we can bring it back to the audience next Wednesday. I'm telling you, it is unbelievable when you look at that figure. And that's every weekend. Michigan travels. Whether they're home or away, they take their fans with them loyally.
And that's a heck of a topic, folks. And that's what we're talking about out there in Scout Florida. I mean, this is the hype time, and this is what we're touching on during the hype time. We're giving you the real down low news as it should be brought to you. And we're touching on these real life topics because this is what it's about. This is the industry. This is what it's about. This is what these players are going through, whether it be leaving high school, getting to college, and getting out there. It's a big business, folks, so it's not going away. Now, one of the things I wanted to also touch on, Tony Sands, going into this week. I mean, you got to tell me. Last week we said it. I said it. I called my matchup last week. We got to touch on these matchups. This weekend, I know we will be at locally, we'll be at the Boyd Anderson and Northeast matchup. But we'll be there, but that may not be your specific matchup that you really want to see something happen and you want to know that it's going down.
My matchup.
Let me know what your matchup
is. My matchup is going to be that's Deerfield and Dillard High School. I want to see how Dillard rebounds back after being beaten by 50-something points. I want to see how that team, because it's going to show some character going down the line of how this team performs. I'm willing to bet you they're going to respond in a big way. Sources tell me some things are being said that they want to hang half a hundred on Dillville.
Wow. Wow. Hey, that's your matchup. Here's mine. My matchup, folks, is going to sit with the Miramar Patriots, defending 6A champions, going out to Texas, DeSoto, Texas, and facing off against DeSoto High School. That's my matchup. I'm just intrigued. And me being a receivers guy, Tony, I'm intrigued with this secondary matchup against these receivers. I want to see it. I can't wait. My mouth is watering. I want to see the lockup guy bring his handcuffs to Texas and take them out, baby. Take them out and put them on these receivers.
But and that's going to be a great matchup. And I love the excitement that it brings. But I still say, mine is going to be, see how Dillard Panthers respond back after being beat. I mean, to me, that's going to sell volume. That's going to say more. Why? Because more people can get out and watch that. That's here locally. I'm telling you, that's going to be the matchup. A lot of people can't see it that far away. Guys, watch how they respond, and it's going to tell you the character of how far this team is going to go as far as achieving their dream in the state championship.
Okay, you heard it here, fans. Be there or be square. We will be at the Board Anderson and Northeast matchup on Friday night, and you heard Tony's matchup. You heard Kelsey's matchup. Sign in with us next week as we will go over those matchups and find out what really happened. We want to thank you for joining in with Scout Florida, all our fans out there, all of our friends, all of our local people. We hope you enjoyed the show. And Tony.
Hey, man, before we go out, I want to give a shout out. Let's give a shout out to the girls that's sitting at Sensational Hair and Nail Design, because I heard they're still there. Hold on, Max Payne, because I'm getting off the air. When I get off the air, baby, I'm coming to Sensation to get my due done right. I got to be somewhere, so I got to make sure it's on. So give a shout-out to those girls that's doing the due at Sensational Hair and Nail Salon.
Okay, and you heard it there, Sensational Hair and Nail Salon. We're signing off right now. Fans, make sure that you remember a family that stays together, prays together, and if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. This is Kelsey Dudley and Tony Sands signing off. Tony, take us away.
As we say, see ya!